The deadline to enroll for coverage under the Affordable Care Act is coming up this Friday. Good Monday morning. Hope you had a nice weekend. We are live from Studio 5 this morning. This is First Coast Connect, and I'm Melissa Ross. Thanks for being with us. And just ahead, everything you need to know to get covered for 2019, your Obamacare questions answered. You can get on the line now, 549-2937. Then later, jazz great Noel Friedline, plus a new basketball tournament is coming to town, but it's about much more than sports for local high school students. All of that and more ahead this morning. But first this hour, despite repeated efforts by Republicans to repeal the Affordable Care Act, it remains the law of the land. However, if you need health insurance for next year, you better not procrastinate. The deadline to enroll in coverage for 2019 is coming up fast. It's this Friday, December 15th. Now, people have a lot of questions about Obamacare, as it's known, especially here in Florida, where there are more enrollees than any other state. That may not be the case next year, though, given that enrollment across the country is down about 10%. That's because the Trump administration has cut the marketing budget and the number of navigators, the people that help you sign up. But this morning, we're going to try to answer your ACA questions. Here with more, we welcome Joyce Case, Program Director for the Health Planning Council of Northeast Florida. She's on the line. Hi, Joyce. Good morning.
Hi, Melissa. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being with us. And here in studio, Mincy Pollock. He is a navigator for the Affordable Care Act here in Jacksonville. Hey, Mincy.
Hey, how you doing, Melissa? Great to be here.
And already getting your calls out there, what are your questions about enrolling in Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act? The deadline is Friday. The open enrollment period started November 1st, but if you haven't gotten around to it yet and you need health insurance for 2019 and you don't have it through your work, this is the other option for you. So you better get moving. We're going to take your calls in a moment at 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online, send your emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org or tweets to @MelissaInJax. Now, let's start with you, Mincy Pollock. You are a navigator for the Affordable Care Act. The reason enrollment is down, apparently, in enrolling on the marketplace at healthcare.gov is that the federal government cut funding for people like you, for groups and individuals helping people sign up for coverage on the marketplace. So there are fewer of you around town this year, correct?
Yeah, there are definitely a few folks that are out there helping people. Melissa, one of the things we do at our agency is our team consists of actually insurance agents that are there to help. And one of the things that we do is we work with nonprofit organizations that have lost funding and lost navigators. We currently have a hub set up like at Agape. That's an agency that was definitely hit by the loss of having navigators. So our team, our members, our agents are called care team members. And so, yeah, there's been a big, a huge need for it. We also work with some hospitals as well, just to maybe fill in the gaps for that. So it's important.
It's important. 549-2937 to call the show with your questions. Joyce McCall with the Health Planning Council of Northeast Florida. The need still is great. Florida had last year, I believe, the highest number of people enrolled in the Affordable Care Act of any state in the nation, correct?
That's correct. We had 1.7 million people in the state of Florida enrolled last year. And currently, as of December 1st, there were almost 800,000 people, 800,000 Floridians enrolled in coverage for the health insurance marketplace. So we're still, there's still a lot of people that are getting enrolled. So it's pretty active season, as you say.
And this last stretch from Monday through Friday this week will be incredibly busy. People typically, it's just human nature, isn't it, Joyce? People kind of wait till the last minute. So what do people need to be aware of this week if they're putting this off till the deadline?
Well, one thing I want to say is that the 15th is actually Saturday. So you have until Saturday, midnight Saturday, to enroll
right.
in the marketplace.
Yeah.
So it's really important that people, if they need assistance in going onto the marketplace, certainly there's Mincy's group in Jacksonville that can assist people. And then there's we have a statewide navigator line this year that we're allowed to enroll people virtually. And so we're doing that very successfully. So if you call the 800 number for a navigator that in our organization, you can get enrolled by sitting in your house in your slippers and your pajamas, and you don't have to go anywhere out in the cold weather or anything like that. So we're able to do that with them this year, which is it's really been great because a lot of people have appreciated not having to go anywhere.
Interesting. Okay, that's important to know, Mincy. People can do this digitally.
Yeah, people can do it digitally. They can go online. You still can do healthcare.gov. You can, of course, they call the number that Joyce gives out. We have care team members that stand by as well. They can answer questions when you call, and you can still actually make an appointment. Maybe if you want, we always talk about education, you know, awareness, and then the access. We still find so many people not even understanding how it works.
Right. Years after the law was controversially passed, mm-hmm. and despite dozens of attempts to repeal it, it is still the law of the land. Mm-hmm. You can still obtain health insurance through Obamacare on the federal exchange at healthcare.gov. However, let me ask you about this. Republicans did push through a major change in the law that takes effect next year. You no longer have to pay a fine if you aren't covered.
Yeah, the mandate is, there have been a few changes with the Affordable Care Act, and one is the mandate. I can say, and Joyce can probably attest to that, what we've seen though probably over the last 5 or 6 years is what the mandate used to be the thing that used to really scare them. Oh no, I'm gonna have to pay a penalty. I only wanna do this to avoid that. But what we found over the years is that people are using their plans. We have people that are, you know, maybe they thought they had cancer, now they use it and they don't, or they found early detections of illnesses and they're using it. So now, even though that, you know, there's predictions that there will be a big drop off, we're finding people as they're calling our lines and stopping by that they want health insurance, not because of afraid of a mandate, but because they need it. And a big thing is there are some people that get coverage and then they lose it maybe throughout the year and they don't think they can get it again. So if you're a person that has lost health coverage, You can get it again. You're not penalized. You lost it. Something happened during the year. You can get it again. If you're a person that have a plan and maybe the rates have went up or maybe you want to look at something else, it's for you as well. And then if you never had it, it's for you as well.
If you're just tuning in, the Obamacare deadline is coming up Saturday at midnight for you to go to healthcare.gov and enroll to get health insurance for 2019 if you need it. It's 549-2937 to join us. We'll go to your calls in a moment and tweets. Joyce McCall with the Health Planning Council of Northeast Florida. You know, one of the reasons the Democrats flipped the House of Representatives last month is over this very issue, healthcare. Obamacare, which was so controversial when it was first passed, is now seen pretty much as settled law. And the American people spoke loudly at the ballot box. They want access to health insurance. They don't want to be denied coverage if they have a pre-existing medical condition. They want to be able to port health insurance from job to job and some of the other benefits that are provided by this. And so given that the people have spoken about this, let me ask you about the particulars here in Florida, because, of course, Florida is one of the states that declined to open its own healthcare exchange and has declined to expand Medicaid for low-income residents. So how are the politics of this, would you say, playing out here in Florida, where there is such a great need and there is a large population of people that need this coverage, but they really aren't, maybe not, might not be fully aware of the parameters of this and the deadlines as we've been discussing?
Well, I think that it's really important that we look at why people don't have healthcare coverage. And as Lindsay said, that it's important that we educate consumers about the availability of health care coverage. When we get them in front of us, there's a lot of people that are eligible for Medicaid that didn't know they were eligible for Medicaid. They're unaware of Healthy Kids, the program through Covering Florida, where children can get inexpensive health care coverage that's similar to Medicaid, but it's a different program. And then there's other programs that are available that for people who don't qualify for a tax credit. There are health sharing ministries that are available. So we're educating people to what is available to them. And so I think our population is much more attuned to what healthcare coverage options are available to them out there. And certainly looking at what we can do for people who are under 100% of poverty, where we did not expand Medicaid for adults. in this state. We actually did expand Medicaid in this state for children. And so it's important to know that we did do some expansion of our Medicaid program, but it was targeted for children.
Let's go to your calls now, 549-2937, as we talk about the deadline Saturday night to enroll for health insurance under the Affordable Care Act. Mylon in Ponte Vedra. Mylon, good morning.
Hi. I have a question about signing up for the ACA when you don't have a permanent address. I recently moved from New York to California. I'm only in Florida visiting family for the holidays, but I have to sign up for the Affordable Care Act, and I don't know what state to put or what address to put. How do I sign up?
Sure. Thanks for the question. Missy Pollack.
I guess the easiest way to kind of hone in on that is when we do the enrollments, it's based off a projection for 2019. So it comes down to generally, where are you going to pay? Where are you filing your taxes? You know, everything's based on household size and in income. So when we look at where's that address that you're going to be filing those taxes for 2019, and that's the base of where you want to begin your enrollment process.
Mark in St. Augustine. Hi, Mark. Happy Monday.
Hey, good morning. I have a question for your guest there, and it has to do with the premiums and the deductibles in the Affordable Care plans. Whenever the plan rolled out and they said, hey, we're going to help subsidize individuals who might be lower income, and that way they can get health insurance, and that all sounds great. But my understanding is many of the plans had a much higher deductible before any benefits kicked in. So I'm curious, what is an average monthly premium and what is an average deductible for someone? You know, yeah, they may have insurance, but if they can't go, you know, can't come up with $6,000 before their benefits kick in.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Mark, thanks for that. And Joyce McCall, can you talk about that? And by the way, we do need to be clear that premiums in the individual market are going up, often by double digits. The repeal of that mandate penalty is just one of a long line of actions that the Trump administration has taken to really deliberately undermine the ACA marketplace. Of course, President Trump has made no secret of his desire to see the Affordable Care Act go away. But what about Mark's question?
Well, to answer Mark's question, one of the things that they did do is the tax cost-sharing reductions have been rolled into the silver plans. And so you see most of the benefits happening within the silver plans to where you can have some low-cost deductibles and low-cost maximum out-of-pockets and low-cost copays and deductibles. In your bronze plans, you'll see that they do have very high deductibles, but the premiums are almost always, and I don't know if you've been experiencing this too, Mincy, but they've been zero.
Yeah,
so you can get free health care insurance to have health care insurance just to have it, but your deductible is going to be really high. So it's more of a catastrophic,
right. So
that you would have something available to you if something terrible happened. But if you have a little bit of income and you can afford, I've seen silver plans as low as $8 for a monthly premium. With having $1,000 in a deductible.
Right.
So we've seen some of those. I've even seen $500 or $695. That seems to be a common one as a deductible. And then the deductible is the same as the maximum out of pocket.
Right.
So there have been there's still very, very affordable plans out there. I think the thing that gets folks when they're applying to the marketplace, if they're doing it on their own,
right,
one of the things that comes up that's really big and bold is that it'll say $895, and somebody will say, oh my gosh, I can't afford that. But that may be their
subsidy,
their tax, their tax credit.
Right, right.
And they think that that's their payment,
right,
and they don't realize, and then they stop.
I'd like to add to that too, Joyce, to that in Florida, to Mark's question, 9 out of 10 people in Florida actually qualify for a subsidy. And the average rate for premiums this year is 75. And someone said, well, I haven't experienced 75. And I often tell people that...
$75 a month.
$75 a month. And what I tell people is that the Affordable Care Act wasn't designed to be free. It wasn't designed to be for, you know, for the poor. It was designed to be affordable. And that's based on a ratio of your household size and income. We have six-figure earners that still get subsidy and cost share. Mm-hmm. So the best thing to do is sit down with a care team member, a navigator, and they can help you. Also, the leading number of uninsured is still like business owners. They have high income that they show in revenue, but when we look at the adjusted gross net for them, a lot of times they qualify as well, and they're one of the highest number of uninsured still remaining.
Interesting. And if you're just tuning in, lots of calls as we talk about the Affordable Care Act. The deadline to enroll for coverage for 2019 is Saturday night. What are your questions? What are your thoughts? As healthcare navigator Mincy Pollock just pointed out, the average person enrolling here in this state gets covered for $75 a month. What does that coverage get you? Are you enrolled under the Affordable Care Act or do you want to be? Give us a call, 549-2937. Mitch is in Mandarin. Hey, Mitch. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm an insurance agent. And you just answered the question, I believe. Most insurance programs start and stop at 12:01 midnight on the day of the either expiration or start. And I was wondering on this Affordable Care program, does it end? Does the customer have until 11:59 on Saturday?
Right. Yeah. If you're a procrastinator, yeah. Okay.
We that's a great question. And we often don't tell people because we don't want everybody's already waiting to the last minute. So you have until midnight on Friday.
Saturday.
Yeah, on Saturday. And we actually do an event called Daybreak to Midnight. We started at 7 a.m. and we stayed the office until 12 midnight. And then we're actually there until about 3 o'clock because it actually goes back to not actually East Coast time. So we're actually helping people beyond that. But don't go waiting to 1 o'clock in the morning. Okay. Please don't. And then we don't know just yet, but there could potentially be an extension because those who are affected by the hurricane may get a little bit more time as well. But we don't know that yet, so don't wait. But those are some possible options.
Does that answer your question, Mitch?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, sure. And Joyce McCall, here is an email from Tony. ACA rates only went up 2.4% average statewide this year in Florida. Mm-hmm. Some plan rates went down. So this listener is trying to let people know that the rates have not increased that much, at least in Florida, although some other states have seen higher premiums. Why is Florida not seeing that so much? Do you know?
No, I think that our number... One insurance carrier that is in all 67 counties is Florida Blue. And they've purposely tried to keep their rates low. The other insurance agencies are also looking for different ways that they can assist consumers. They have incentives. They've incorporated incentives to keep their consumers healthy. If they get certain preventative care done, they'll reward them with $25 or $50 towards their paying for their premiums. So they're all of them have tried to make very affordable inroads to their product so that they keep their prices down. So I think that's one of the benefits of folks who live in Florida, that we have carriers that are really attuned to that, to keeping the cost low for consumers.
And that's a great point, and I really want to say this to the listeners as well. There are people that actually got notices by whatever carrier they have, and it may look like their premium went up, and it just says, click here if you want to renew. But what we're doing is we're sitting down with folks that are insured, and if you take a quick look at the plan, for example, using an example of the Florida Blue, we've seen some people that maybe were on the My Blue plan that went up $20 to $100 this year, but if they renewed and switched to a Blue Select plan, for example, it actually went down considerably, and they paid less than the previous year. So if you currently have coverage, I encourage the listeners, don't just hit the renew button. There are lots of different options for you on the marketplace.
And that's where someone like you, a navigator, comes in, but because it can be a little overwhelming, but there are so far fewer of you.
Right.
So that's why we're seeing enrollment in part go down.
And
right.
And I would have to say this too, but I want to, because Joyce is going to get me if I don't really clear this up. I got to make sure I say it this way. So we're Florida Care Assurance Group. So we are an organization that's about education, awareness, and access. We have licensed care team members. So even though they are Florida Blue agents of sorts, we help everybody and we don't steer. So when we sit down with a client, our first priority is education, awareness, and what's best for the individual.
Okay.
So I just want to clear that up. So we don't get the navigation funding. We are there to help in the gap of there not being navigators.
Curtis on the west side.
Yes.
Hi, Curtis.
Hi, good morning. To both of you, my daughter is 37 years old, just lost her job last week. What is she required to do? Thank you, and I'll take my answer off there.
Okay, Joyce McCall, if you're unemployed, you're scared, you need coverage, like his daughter, his relative, what's the action plan for someone like that?
Well, she needs to look at what her COBRA coverage is. She probably can enroll in COBRA, but she should look at what other options are out there available to her. She has 60 days from the time that she's lost her coverage in order to apply. She doesn't necessarily have to do it now during open enrollment, but she will have to have income. So she's going to have some sort of, as she gets another job, but she can project her income for next year. Right. And getting her, her new job in the new year. So she can do that, but she does have the opportunity to wait. But if she gets enrolled now, she will have coverage effective January the 1st.
Yeah.
But she has to have income and reported income in order to qualify for a tax credit.
But if she's out of work, she has no income.
Well, Melissa, the Affordable Care Act goes by the projection for your 2019. So based on maybe what her skill set was. I mean, we find this all the time. Sometimes I get bus drivers, so they're temporary. We find this a lot with people with temporary jobs, but their skill set usually sets them on the projection to get a job later.
So they make an estimate of what their income will be.
Okay. And then unemployment benefits actually count as income as well.
So I hope, Curtis, that helps you answer that question. And here is an email from a listener. What happens when someone's income is so low that the marketplace denies coverage to them and they're sent to Medicaid, and then Medicaid in Florida also denies them? Mm-hmm. Where do they go? There is a significant population of people in Florida that fall into that bucket because Florida declined to expand Medicaid to cover low-income people. These are people that really are falling through the cracks. So can you both address that, beginning with Joyce, and then we'll hear Mincy's thoughts too?
So there's some options out there available for people who don't qualify for a tax credit. There, we still have a plethora of safety net programs that are available for folks who don't qualify for the tax credit and don't qualify for Medicaid. They can go to the federally qualified health centers that were established for those specific reasons to help for people who don't qualify for those types of coverages. Mincy mentioned one earlier. He works at Agape, but there's Salzbacher and there's Azalea and some others within your listening zone area that cover folks for primary care assistance while they are unable to get coverage for marketplace or through Medicaid.
Mincy Pollack.
I just did old Joyce. That's it. The Affordable Care Act is great, but there are one or two things that we wish could have got added into there. And that's one, that donut hole from the Medicaid and also
hole.
The family gap. If somebody's married or their spouse offers coverage. And so this, you know, for the individual's person is super cheap, but when you add the spouse to it, it's unaffordable.
And of course, the Obamacare apparatus was constructed with the expectation that most of the states would take federal money to expand Medicaid. But red states or purple states like Florida declined to take the money. And so that has led to this patchwork effect in states like Florida. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Chuck at the Beaches. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, guys, y'all hit on a couple of things. My son was on Obamacare in 2015, and there was a cutoff point. It was like $12,000 or $13,000, and he made the cutoff point. But it was, I mean, you had to be a rocket scientist to make this happen and to stay on it. And unfortunately, younger people or people who are having issues, they're not into it. And so, you know, the parent or someone has to take that responsibility. And I'm on Medicare. Medicare is easy. Mm-hmm. Obamacare was horrendously difficult. And then you mentioned the people that can't get on it. We lost 70,000 people last year to opioids. Right. We don't have anything. We're not doing anything to take care of these people. And Obamacare doesn't cover them. And Medicaid doesn't cover them. And you guys have talked about people being able to get on it, get on it, get on it. You talked about awareness and education. There are people out there that don't have those skills and don't know how to do that, and the younger people aren't thinking about it. I'm with Bernie Sanders. We got to do something to help.
So you are for Medicare for all, in other words. Is that right?
Yes, and every time I bring it up on your show, people say, well, we can't afford it. Well, if you spend 15 to 20% of your gross income of America on health insurance, and you got a kid that's 18 years old, you take $10 or $20 out of every $100 of his check, you put him on Medicare, and you give him an entry-level program. I pay an additional $4,000 to my Medicare, but at least he could get into the program and start him when he's 18 and let him have it. Pay an entry-level, take it out of his paycheck, just like you take my Medicare out of my paycheck. And, you know, what's more important, bridges or your sick neighbor? It's your sick neighbor.
Thank you, Chuck. Thanks for that. Okay, Joyce McCall, a lot there to talk about in Chuck's comments. Certainly on the left in 2020, presidential candidates are going to be significantly to the left of where they were 4 or 8 years ago when they talk about their position on health care. We're going to hear a lot about Medicare for all. And of course, Republicans will say that that would bankrupt the country. You know, the Affordable Care Act basically was cribbed off of Mitt Romney's Republican private market plan for the state of Massachusetts, mainly because former President Obama thought, well, if we do it this way, that'll bring in bipartisan support because Republicans won't sign off on what they used to call the public option, which is basically Medicare for all. So the politics of this remain as polarized as ever. At the same time, when we get calls like the one we just got from Chuck, it's clear that the public is not happy with the status quo. They want coverage for pre-existing conditions. They want to be able to make sure their kids and young adult children are covered, like his son. And so this, you know, going into the 2020 election cycle, I think is once again going to be a defining issue. I'd like your thoughts about that.
Well, the Health Planning Council is a unbiased organization. So either way that I say this, I really can't go into what I think about the
sure.
Medicare for all or whether or not that would work. I think that our plan here is to tell as many people out there as possible about the deadline on Saturday night and get enrolled in what we currently have in place, which is health insurance for people who qualify for a tax credit. And there's help out there through either Mitzi's organization or through our organization or our statewide number or the 1-800-healthcare.gov number. There is assistance available to help people get on. We can deal with the politics of those things as they come forward during the 2020 campaign cycle. But for us right now, we're trying to get as many people enrolled as possible for the current system that we have.
Okay, and let's end with that. Mincy Pollock, for those just tuning into this, just the easiest way for people to get covered by Saturday night, midnight.
Easiest way, we'd love them to give us a call at 265-4753, 265-4753. We put extra care team members on the lines to be able to take in those incoming calls. In addition to that, what we're doing on Saturday, we're calling it Daybreak to Midnight. It will be at the Beaver Street Enterprise Center, just west of downtown. We're going to be there from early in the morning until the last person's enrolled. We do it every year, and we've been there past midnight. So we will help you. And whether you need to renew, whether you need to get it again, or whether you've never had it. So those are two great, easy ways.
Okay. Thanks so much, both of you. Joyce Case, she's a program director for the Health Planning Council of Northeast Florida. Mincy Pollack, CEO of the Florida Care Assurance Group. Thanks to you both.
Thank you, Melissa.
And much more still ahead later. Culpepper, as Jacksonville has some state champs to brag about. But up next, local jazz great Noel Friedline, all about his concert this Friday. We'll be right back.
Jaguar season on a high note. Treat yourself to a live jazz brunch on Sunday, December 16th from 10 a.m. to kickoff at WJCT Studios. Enjoy live music by Jaguar Jazz featuring saxophonist Tracy Morris and an eclectic brunch menu curated by celebrity chef Cartel. Quench your pregame thirst with the Mimosa Fountain or select your own libation at the Cash Bar. For tickets and group seating, visit 904tix.com and search Jazz Brunch.
Hi, I'm Andrew Wickman, host of Blues Horizon. The best in classic and modern blues is now on twice a week. Blues Horizon, Monday and Wednesday nights at 11, right here on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world, your music.
And you're listening to a local talent who made it big in music. It's jazz musician Noel Friedline, a UNF graduate. He headlines at the Ritz Theater this Friday, but there's so much happening at the Ritz this holiday season. Here with more, we welcome Vanessa Davis, Business Development Manager with Jacksonville's Ritz Theater. Good morning.
Good morning.
And also with us, Stacey Aubrey of SMG.
Hi, good morning.
They manage the Ritz. Okay, Vanessa, let's start with you. Noel Friedline, this incredible jazz talent, who has headlined the Noel Friedline Quintet for, gosh, the last 26 years, coming to the Ritz this Friday.
Yes, we are very excited to have him. He's going to be headlining with our Ritz Voices to do a holiday concert. And then he'll also be doing a jazz series with us in 2019.
Very nice. Now, this concert Friday night is called A Soulful Noel by the Ritz Voices with special guests Noel Friedline Quintet and Maria Howell. This is just the perfect kind of holiday cheer concert.
Definitely. And it showcases our young Ritz Voices, a group that's been together since the Ritz inception, headed by Deb McDuffie. So it should be a great evening.
Vanessa was one of the she's a graduate of the Ritz Voices.
Oh, you are. Well, there you go. You know, I can't say enough about the Ritz theater because it is, not only is there this incredible theater with incredibly great concerts all the time, there's also a museum that everyone should visit to learn about the African-American history of this city, which is so vibrant and there's so much to learn.
Most definitely. I mean, La Villa is, I like to think of it as a great bridge between a lot of the great communities. It is the birthplace of the blues, that's on record. And we have a great, great archive of some wonderful stuff. A highlight for me is always Bob Hayes' track shoes when he won the two gold medals at the Olympics. And right now we'll have, on the 15th, we're opening up another exhibit called Natural Nuelle. It's about natural hair shot by a local photographer, Aaron Mervin.
Very nice. Okay. So as if all that weren't enough, this is also super exciting because next Monday night, December 17th, one of the most talented people ever, Jane Lynch, is going to be performing at the Ritz Theater, Stacey.
Yes, she is. We're very excited to have her. She is performing with a jazz ensemble. So not only is she a comedian and an actress, she's also a singer.
I had no idea.
And one of the other women singing with her is from The Office.
Get out of here.
The TV show. Yes. So it should be a really fun night. And she's going to talk a little. She's going to sing a little. I bet she even dances a little.
This concert is called A Swingin' Little Christmas. And I guess her CD, also called A Swingin' Little Christmas, is sort of Frank Sinatra style, like classically sung standards, which is so cool.
Yes, it should be a fun night out. Tickets are available on Ticketmaster, so it's not sold out yet, but we're hoping for a full house.
Definitely get your tickets now for Noel Friedline Friday night at the Ritz. Jazz great Noel Friedline, who hails from Jacksonville. And then on Monday night, it's Jane Lynch at the Ritz Theater, A Swingin' Little Christmas. The concert with Noel Friedline is with the Ritz Voices. And there are so many other holiday shows coming up, Vanessa, as I'm looking at your website. People can take their pick.
Most definitely. I mean, the Ritz, not only do we bring some great talent to the Jacksonville area, but we also, you know, help to foster some local talent. So a lot of people are bringing their plays. A lot of people are, you know, booking us for shows. So we have a great amount of holiday stuff coming up, not only Christmas, but, you know, moving
all
into the end
the
of the year.
Yeah. Right. Right. January and February for Black History Month, we're always doing something special. We have the Sons of Serendip coming, who were on America's Got Talent. And we have a wonderful show as a tribute to Martin Luther King coming called We Shall Overcome.
Lots happening. So go to RitzJacksonville.com. Correct? RitzJacksonville.com or Ticketmaster. And get your tickets now for Ritz Voices and Noel Friedline Friday night, Jane Lynch, A Swingin' Little Christmas Monday night, and much more. So Vanessa Davis with the Ritz Theater, Stacey Aubrey of SMG, happy holidays, and thanks so much.
Happy holidays to you.
Thanks.
Still to come, sports news, including a big new high school basketball tournament for the city. We'll be right back. Well, this week, a brand new high school basketball tournament kicks off in Jacksonville, but this is about much more than sports. This initiative is called High School 912. Alan Verlander is CEO of Airstream Ventures, a sports marketing and event company, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning. Always great to see you, Melissa.
Always good to see you, Alan. And you created this initiative, High School 912. What's it all about?
Well, we had a team of people that really did it, and it's really a holistic approach to helping high schoolers. We have such great high school talent here, not only in sports, but all across the board. And sometimes in the public school system, they may not be living or in the best of conditions. And so we want to come in and help them through academics, sports, and life skills to get them on to a better place after high school. And so we're excited about launching the program.
This is financing academic tutoring through corporate partnerships, and you're setting up an amazing high school tournament. All the biggest high schools in town, Bowles, Episcopal, Bishop Kenny, Orange Park, First Coast High, lots of high schools involved in this. This is coming up, what, Thursday night?
It is. It begins Thursday actually, at 12:30 p.m. at Episcopal High School. And we're very thankful for our partnership with all of our media partners. The games will be shown on the TV4 app. A lot of just the opportunity to showcase the best high school basketball talent here in our city.
There's so much talent. We'll talk about that in a minute with Cole Pepper. But I love how you've put this together, because you're using sports to help these young athletes succeed both academically and in life, but you've put it together in such a way that there's more of a support network for them.
There is, and sports is such a mouthpiece to get the word out about other things. It's hard to really get the word out about an academic boot camp. You know, nobody really wants to televise
that.
But people want to televise sporting events, so we can utilize broadcast, both radio and television, to talk about the High School 912 program and all the great things that Dr. Green now, Tammy Talley, the athletic director of Duval County Public Schools, we've had so much success over this past weekend. Try to parlay that into a great message of so much is happening in Duval County Public Schools. Let's get the word out and help these kids.
And you can go to the website, JacksHighSchool912.com, JacksHighSchool912.com for more. How can people be part of this?
Well, we have the way that we're funding everything is through corporate partners. So we've had a lot of interest, a lot of corporate partners already jumping on board, which has been very gratifying. Or individuals can, if they want to get involved. All of the money goes back to these kids. And so all the programs from academics, sports, to life skills will all go. And hopefully we'll look at this program 5, 6, 7 years down the road and see college graduates, people doing very well in different vocational areas, and know that we had a very small part of planting that seed in their success.
This is the first year. And of course, under your leadership, I'm sure it will grow. And you can stream it on Channel 4's app beginning Thursday at lunchtime. This big new high school basketball invitational. And the program is High School 912. Go to JacksHighSchool912.com for more. Alan Verlander, CEO of Airstream Ventures. Great work as always. Can you stick around while we talk a little more sports?
I can. Glad to.
In a moment, Cole Pepper, as we talk about some state football championships and more. We'll be right back.
No gal mate has got a shade on, sweet Georgia Brown. Two left feet, but oh so neat, has sweet Georgia Brown. They all sigh and want to die for sweet Georgia Brown.
Arms without representation.
I'm not seeing my interests fought by the NRA. Starting with Philando Castillo, every time that I see one of these incidents and they just remain silent.
Black gun owners talk about why they carry and whether they ever feel seen as the good guy with the gun. That's next time on The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Weekdays at 2 on 89.9 WJCT.
For the big banks over in the UK, well, let's just say they have a lot of thoughts on Brexit, shall we?
It really is a massive self-inflicted wound where we're working desperately hard to make ourselves poorer.
I'm Kai Rizdal, Bankers versus Brexiteers, next time on Marketplace.
Weeknights at 6 on 89.9 WJCT.
The The John and Mabel Ringling Museum of Art Complex in Sarasota includes a 21-gallery museum, the Cotizan Mansion, the Oslo Theater, and the Circus Museum. I'm Ben Brotmarkle, and coming up on Florida Frontiers, the weekly radio magazine of the Florida Historical Society, will explore the Ringling legacy. The 1914 Confederate reunion in Jacksonville, and a history of the Green Book on Florida Frontiers, Monday evening at 6:30 on 89.9 WJCT.
New court filings are telling us more about the special counsel's investigation into Russian collusion. President Trump says it's a witch hunt. But new testimony from former FBI Chief James Comey adds to what we're learning about Paul Manafort and Michael Cohen, revealing Robert Mueller's latest memos, next time on 1A.
Today at 10 on 89.9 WJCT.
Sports Wrap Up with Cole Pepper is sponsored by Black Sheep, Orsay, and Bellwether Restaurants.
Welcome back. Finally, this hour, two Jacksonville schools are celebrating state football championships.
I'm a pepper, he's a pepper, she's a pepper, we're a pepper. Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too?
Cole Pepper is here with more about Reins and Mandarin, and Alan Verlander is going to stick around and talk about this too, because he's a sports guy. Hey, guys.
As a matter of fact, Alan and I go way back when we were both much younger.
when the world was young.
When the world was young. And Alan good was looking. The athletic director. Well, one of us was.
You guys are still good looking.
I still have a face for radio. But Alan, when Alan was the athletic director at JU and I was calling the games over there. So always great to see Alan and see what he's doing. Excited about
I've
the high
school
basketball.
I've known Alan a long time, too.
Yeah.
We go way back.
Yeah, it's amazing. Okay, so let's talk about Reins first. How about Reins?
Yeah, amazing when you think about what has taken place. Before last year, there had only been one Duval County public school to ever win a state football championship, and that was Reins back in 1997. Then Reins won last year, and then they repeated this year, going back-to-back, beating Coco, the same team they beat last year in the 4A state championship game, 27-13, the third state title all-time for the Vikings. And it was nearly a perfect season on the field. They lost their opener to Lee by 1 point and then didn't lose again all season long. You may also remember that that was the night of the shooting near the football game at Reins. And so this championship sort of was a big part of the healing process and a chance for that community to celebrate.
These players deserve it, so does the Reins community. After what they've been through this year with the early incident that happened at Reins, but this is the caveat of it all, baby. Back-to-back state champion.
That was Duran Wiley on the field just after the final whistle. A guy who has done so much for that Reins program. And it is so difficult to win a state championship. For Wiley to have led the Vikings to back-to-back championships, really a notable thing in the area. The other team to win a state championship was Mandarin. I would say, and Alan and I were just talking about it, Reins was the favorite. They were the team expected to get to the finals and probably win. Mandarin only had two wins last year. They were 2-8 under Bobby Ramsey in his first year, and he has really transformed that program. They beat previously undefeated Miami Columbus 37-35 in the 8A finals. Quarterback Carson Beck, a future Alabama Crimson Tide quarterback, threw five touchdown passes, four of them to Demario Douglas, which is a state finals record. It's the first ever state title for the Mustangs. It's just the second school in the Duval County Public School System to win a state football championship. Mandarin, as I mentioned, came a long way from where they were last year, but Bobby Ramsey, who has plenty of experience coaching high school football, he was Derrick Henry's coach at Yulee, knew he had something special in the works.
I knew we had good players here, and I believed in them. And, you know, I saw it in the offseason that these kids are getting it physically. They're changing their bodies. They're doing the work. They're coming together as a team. The culture's changing. And, you know, I knew we were going to have a good football team this year.
And think about it this way, Alan. You've got the biggest classification in arguably the best state in the country for high school football. And Mandarin is the king of that classification.
It's an unbelievable story. It's really a story of perseverance, a group coming together because they had some losses early. And so it was a group coming together to say, let's stick together. Let's follow the process. Let's go with Coach Ramsey and win this thing.
And I'll say it was fun for us because we called that game. We broadcast the first game of the year for Mandarin, the Bold City Showdown on Channel 4.
Uh-huh.
And we saw them and thought, you know, this is a pretty good team. They've got some pieces. Didn't think they would be where they are today. And here they are as champions.
So exciting. Kudos to both schools. Really cool. Unfortunately, we can't say the same of our own Jacksonville Jaguars.
No, their final home game of the season comes Sunday when Washington comes to town. And after last Thursday night's loss in Nashville, the Jags are mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. No surprise there after what's happened this year. But since the offense has scored exactly one touchdown since Blake Bortles was benched and Cody Kessler was inserted as the starter, Doug Marrone was asked whether he would consider going back to Bortles, and here was his answer.
Again, I think it's the overall production, you know, of the offense. I said it before, you can't put it on, you know, one person or one coach, but, there were some things I thought that he improved on from the week before. So, I'm not thinking that way.
So he's going to go with Cody Kessler the rest of the way, which tells you everything you need to know about their plans for Blake Bortles in the future. They're going to be moving on from that spot. And what Cody Kessler can prove over the last three games is whether he can be a backup for the team next year or whether they have to go out and find not only a new starter but also a new backup quarterback. There are going to be some big changes for the Jaguars in the offseason. By the way, one final shout-out, Melissa. The Westside Wildcats Warner team of 9 to 11-year-olds, won the Division I Pee Wee National Championship over the weekend. They scored the game-tying touchdown with no time remaining, then scored the game-winning extra point on a quarterback draw to beat a team from Arizona. So congrats to the Westside Wildcats. They are national champions.
That is amazing. And let's give one more shout-out to Alan's new initiative through Airstream Ventures. It's Jacksonville 912. Go to JacksHighSchool912.com to learn more about that, helping kids succeed through sports and academic support. Alan, thanks for sticking around.
Thanks so much. Great to be on.
And thank you, Cole. Always catch Cole at night on Channel 4. And tonight is also the Mark Brunell Show on the CW.
Yeah, and on Saturday on the CW, the championship game of the basketball tournament, I'll be broadcasting that one as well on CW 17.
He's a busy guy. And that is our show. Thanks so much for listening. Michelle Corum is our director. David Luckin is our program and music director. The theme of the show, composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony's Pyotr Shevchik. And if you missed anything from today's program, catch our rebroadcast tonight at 8 o'clock. 1A is up next. I'm Melissa Ross, and this is 89.9. We'll be right back here again at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Have a great Monday.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.